If you have your Bibles, we're going to be starting just a very short little mini-series this morning. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew in front of you. It's going to be on page 959 there. Otherwise, all of our verses will be right up on the screen this morning. And the title of today's message in this little mini-series that we're in is called A Gift for You. A gift for you. All right, let's start in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul wrote this book to the church in Corinth. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. He's going to give us a little bit of information. That's always a good thing, isn't it? He doesn't want us to be uninformed. He wants us to be informed. And so what he's going to do is he's going to share a little bit with us. This may not be new to you this morning, but I hope it touches you in a new way if it's not a new idea. That's my hope and my prayer. Verse 2, that you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. You know, every one of us, before we trusted in Jesus, we were following and being led by something, weren't we? Every one of us, before we put our faith in Jesus, we were being led around this life. We were following something other than Christ. Then when we put our faith in Jesus, we began following Him, right? That's what he's saying in verse 2. Verse 3, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. He puts this parallel between these two again. Now, verse 4 through 7 is where we're going to focus this morning. I think you're going to see a wonderful picture of the Trinity in this as well. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. That's our Lord Jesus. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God, God the Father, who empowers them all and every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit, or the Spirit's gift, for the common good. We have a gift for you. God has a gift for you. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your love. God, we thank you for your grace and your most incredible gift that you've given to us. Lord, I pray this morning that your Spirit would teach us, that it would inform us, that it would instruct us, that it would move in those deep places of our heart. And God, even if this is something that maybe we've heard before, or we've thought about before, or we've even studied before, God, may you speak and minister and work in us in a new way this morning. God, because you are a new working God always, and you have new things to share. So, Father, we pray for that. Spirit, please be with us now, and we just give you all the thanks and the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, a gift for you. What is a gift? How many of you in your life have ever received a gift? Birthday, Christmas, or special occasion? Okay, that's great. Excellent. We had a birthday party yesterday, and there were some gifts that were given. And of course, a gift is something that you may or may not deserve, right? Sometimes you get gifts, and you don't necessarily deserve it, but you get it. It may be a good gift. It may be a bad gift. It depends upon the giver, correct? And it depends upon your perception of the gift. Gift may be good, maybe bad. We don't know why it may be. After I'm given a gift, I have a choice, don't I? How I choose to use that gift. I can enjoy that gift. I can use it to the full. I can just love it. You ever gotten a gift that you just loved and you just thought, that's the best gift I've ever been given? Yes, you have. And you've enjoyed it to the full. You can enjoy it marginally. You can say, you know what, that was a decent gift. I'll kind of use that maybe 50%. I'll use a little bit of that. Or you can kind of neglect that gift, can't you? You can take that gift, and maybe you don't even know how good it is. You ever been given a gift that somebody says, oh, this is just the best, you know, thing, and I just love this, and you're going to love it too, and you think, yeah, I am. And you stick it in your closet, and you neglect it. Now, that might be the best thing. They might be right. But you just neglect that gift. Or sometimes, and I know as kids, don't you feel your kids sometimes abuse the gifts that you give them? And boys are built to do that, aren't they? Abuse gifts. But we always have a choice when we're given a gift. We can use it to the full. We can use it marginally. We can neglect it, or we can even abuse it. Now, we know, I think, that our salvation is a gift, isn't it? Ephesians 2:8 tells us very clearly, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourself. It is the gift of God." Our salvation, when we trust in Jesus, when we trust in what Christ did for us, dying on the cross, we are given the gift of eternal life. Amen? The greatest gift you'll ever be given, the most wonderful opportunity. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We can't work for it. We can't go to church enough, read the Bible. There's nothing we can do. We can just trust that when Jesus died, he did it for us. Amen? The greatest gift ever. The greatest gift ever. And we may think, well, that's all that being a Christian is accepting and receiving and trusting and glorying in that gift. And that's an amazing gift. It's the best gift. It's the greatest gift that you'll ever been given. We didn't deserve it. But that's not the end of the story on God's gifts to us. That's not the end. As good as that is and as beautiful as salvation is, and I'm not diminishing, I'd never diminish the greatest gift that any human being's ever been given. I wouldn't diminish that. But it's just not the end. After we trust in Jesus, Paul said, I don't want you to be uninformed about spiritual additional gifts, additional graces. As hard as it is to believe, we've been given additional gifts. After we trust in Jesus, God gives us more. Now, what is a gift of the Holy Spirit, or what is a gift from the Holy Spirit? It is something that God gives to you that has spiritual implication that will benefit the body of Christ. That's why he gives it to you. It's a spiritual gift that will have benefit for the body. Across the board for the body, you have been given that. Every single human who's trusted in Jesus has been given an additional gift of something from God's Spirit that will benefit the body. Now, God chooses what that is. Many times, I think, in life, we want to choose what our spiritual gift is. And a lot of times, if we could choose our spiritual gift, we wouldn't choose the one we have. We'd choose the one that other person has because I kind of like the look of their gift. Now, that happens at Christmas sometimes, doesn't it? You look around and you think, boy, I think I'd like that gift a lot better than mine. That's a human tendency, and it also plays with our spiritual gift. But God chooses. He gives us something directly from his Spirit, a manifestation, an expression, a demonstration of God's Spirit that he gives to us for the building up or the benefit of the body. Now, I think we need to be very careful. I think in our, and we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday nights. Sometimes we really like to know about the doctrine of our gifts. We really like to know doctrinally, this is what a gift is, and this is all the spiritual gifts, and I can name them for you and what they look like. But I believe with, and I think those things are important, but I do believe with all of that is within me that it's more important that we use our gift then we have a deep doctrinal understanding of spiritual gifts. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's much more important that we get active with the gift that God has breathed into us than we know from start to finish what all the spiritual gifts are. I think it's much more important that we get to use in them. Now, what do I believe about these gifts? I think these gifts can change over time. I don't think that your one spiritual gift that you have will necessarily follow you for the rest of your life. You'll only have that one and you have to just be worried that that's your gift. And how I think sometimes God will mold us and make us and he'll breathe and blow and give into us different gifts for different seasons of life. I think many times what we need in one season of life for the body may change. And I think that's okay. I think that's natural. I think that's life. And so the gift or gifts, and I want to tell you this, I believe many times, most often, these gifts are combinations of gifts that ebb and flow over time and that work in our life and that come for certain seasons, which means we need to be sensitive to the Spirit and we need to say, God, what do you have for me for this season? What have you given to me as a gift for this moment, this season in my life right now? So I think these gift combinations that we have, they'll ebb and they'll flow and they'll move. And God breathes different aspects of himself into us at different times. Depending on our life circumstance, we may see something grow and we may see it flourish. This week, what we're going to look at, we are going to look at what is consistent about spiritual gifts for believers. We're going to identify, though, we're going to look at four consistencies. We're going to identify a major problem, a human problem in any one of these areas, and then hopefully give us a solution. And then next week, what we're going to do is we're going to look at, next week, some of the unique gifts that you or I may have. But because I didn't want to have us focus, which is so natural, on the doctrine of gifts, rather, I'd rather have us focus on the use of those gifts, we're going to go with what's consistent first. So what is consistent about our gifts? If you're, again, if this is your first time inside your bulletin, you're given a little bulletin. Inside, there's a green sheet of paper, and we have some little things that you can fill out. There's a pen in front of you. That's what this is for, a little sermon notes paper. And then in the back, if you don't have one, we have a notebook that we'd love to give you. You can see these are three-hole punched, and we have a notebook in the back that you can put these in, and you can just take that home and keep track of these. This is the first fill-in-the-blank this morning, okay? What is consistent about our gifts? Number one, there is great satisfaction in using our gifts. There is great satisfaction. Great satisfaction. Can we be satisfied in church? Well, let's get there in a moment. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians. Let's look at verse 4 in particular again. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. A variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. It's a gift. We all know what a gift is, right? Is a gift good if the giver is good? If the giver knows what he's doing, will you get a good gift? Some people have the spiritual gift of giving good gifts. Don't some people just give great gifts? They do, because they think about you. Is God a good giver of gifts? Yes, he is. This gift that he has given you is good. We get our word grace. We get our word grace from this gift. It's a benefit. It's a blessing. It's a favor. It's a gift. You can enjoy it because it's God's blessing, his gift to you. Is that wrong? Can't we be too satisfied? It's never wrong to find contentment, fulfillment, and satisfaction in using the gift that God has given you. Sometimes we think this mission that we are on is so serious. And it is a serious mission. Reconciling the world as an ambassador is a serious mission. But that does not mean we can't enjoy this gift to the full. The gift that you have been given is meant to give you satisfaction. It's meant to fulfill you. That's what it is designed to do. So why wouldn't we just enjoy a gift to the full? What's the problem? Here's our first problem that we identified. There's a human nature problem. We think that selfish equals satisfied. We have a cultural deal here where we think that if we are selfish, we will be satisfied. We're convinced that the ultimate enjoyment in life is getting what we want. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? We have a natural assumption that if I just get what I want, that's maximum satisfaction. Maximum fulfillment is life is when I get my way. So our culture has become addicted to entertainment, to leisure, and to hobbies. We've become addicted to those things. We are addicted to our entertainment, our leisure, and our hobbies. Why? Because we want to be fulfilled. And we think that if I just get what I want, lazy boy couch, maybe the feet up, something to drink, and a good thing on the television. If I just get what I want, nothing wrong with that at certain times. But I get this feeling that if I get what I want, then I'm going to be happy. If I get my way, then I'm satisfied. Then I'm fulfilled. And I want to tell you, if you don't know Jesus as a non-follower of Christ, that may be true. That may be true. If you are not following Jesus, it may be very true that getting your way is going to get you the most satisfied. So what's the solution to this problem? The solution is expose the lie and enjoy the gift. Expose the lie and fully enjoy the gift. As a follower of Jesus, selfish does not equal satisfied. As a follower of his, selfish does not equal satisfied. We must intentionally reject that idea that being selfish is going to make me feel fulfilled. We got to get rid of it. There is a soul level, deeper satisfaction that's available to you and to me as a follower of Christ. There's a deeper satisfaction than just getting what I want out of life. It's deep. It's deep. It is one that doesn't go away, and it's only achieved through knowing Jesus and serving Him by using our gifts. Some of us may struggle with this because we think, you know, we can't really enjoy life too much, especially as a Christian, right? We got to be just a little somber. And I understand there is a seriousness to our mission, and there is a seriousness to our call. There is. But that does not discount the fact that we can enjoy these gifts that God has given us. And I think we should. Charles Spurgeon put it this way. I like this quote. When it is the Lord's work in which we find joy, we don't need to be afraid of being too glad. When we are finding joy in God's work for us, we don't have to worry about smiling too much. We can be glad in God's work. Amen? We can find joy in what He has for us. Will I be fulfilled and satisfied every day then serving the Lord? No. I won't be satisfied or fulfilled every day. I probably won't be. I like being your pastor. I don't like it every day. I find great fulfillment in teaching and preaching and in my role here. I really do. But I'm not satisfied 100% of the time. The majority of time, yes, I am. The majority of time, I am more than satisfied. I am more than fulfilled. There's a deep level satisfaction in using my gift. But is it 100%? No, it's not. But if the majority of time, if I'm not satisfied using my gift, then I probably need to find a different place to serve. Because I believe if this is a gift that's given from God, He means it to be a good gift and a satisfying gift and a fulfilling gift. Using our gift should be very satisfying and fulfilling. Let's look at the second characteristic of our gift. This is going to flip this coin over a little bit. What's the second characteristic? This using our gift may feel like lowly service. Here's the flip side, friends. Using our gift may feel like lowly service. Let's go back to verse 5 in 2 Corinthians. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. That word service, listen to what that word service means. It's the Greek word diakoneia. We get our word deacon from that. Here's what it means. It means it's an attendant. It's to run on errands. That's what that word service means. Or it's a waiter of tables. Does that sound high and mighty and exalted and lifted up? That's serving, isn't it? That's service. Using my gift may seem menial, may seem lowly, may seem thankless, and at times may even seem useless. But it's not. There may be moments and seasons when I am serving the Lord when it seems like it's just nothing is happening. But that's not the reality. It's not the reality. We must strike that balance between being satisfied and being humble. What's the problem? What's the human nature problem with serving? To be honest, serving sounds lame. Doesn't it? Doesn't serving sound lame? It does. Serving doesn't sound like it's a great, like, sign me up today. It doesn't sound like something I'm terribly interested in. To our flesh, we're not going to like this. It's not going to be natural. It's not going to be something we're going to enjoy all the time. What's the solution? Solution to serving sounding lame, we must humbly reflect Jesus. What is our model in this? Our model is Christ, the ultimate servant, the ultimate lowly. God became a man for the sake of man, didn't He? Didn't He humble Himself? Every aspect of His life was a picture of humility, and we reflect that. We reflect that. I remember my first preaching and teaching gig. First one I ever had was with the 2, 3, and 4-year-olds at my old church. And it's about 20 years ago. And my wife and I did this together. And so we were, you know, we were doing our thing and we were preaching and we were teaching. We were bringing it, you know, and it was good. And there was this little boy named Billy. And somebody described him this way. If kids were marbles, Billy was a steely. Do you know what I'm saying? He's the bulldog of boys, okay? He was as wide as he was tall. And Billy was 2 years old at that time, and just an energetic little guy. And my wife, you know, when you teach kids, you got to kind of get down at their level. And my wife was down at his level, and she was teaching him. And Billy came up, and he wanted a hug. And he came full speed, and he hugged, and he knocked my wife flat. And I think that was in the middle of my sermon. Doesn't serving sometimes seem lowly? Doesn't it sometimes? And then for the next almost 20 years, for me, and your story isn't going to be mine, but the next 20 years I spent teaching kids and in confirmation and then at Youth for Christ. And so many times I'm teaching these kids and I'm thinking, God, what in the world is going on? I don't know if these kids are even listening to me. I don't know if there's anything in this that has value to them. Sometimes our service is going to seem lowly. It's going to seem humble. It's going to seem like, what am I doing? But in God's eyes, I think these most humble positions, and we have many available at the church if you're interested. In the children's church and the nursery, we have some availabilities there. And I think many times these humble positions are the most elevated in His eyes. But it will seem humble. What's the third aspect to using our gifts? Let's go to the next verse. Third aspect to using our gifts, it will take energy. It will take, anybody use a little extra energy this morning? Yeah, okay. Let's read verse 6. And there are varieties of activities. That word activity, listen to what this word is, the Greek word, energema. You know what word we get from that? Energy. There's a variety of activities which all take energy, but it is the same God who empowers, same root word for energy, them all in everyone. Using my gift will take energy. It'll take work. It'll take some oomph. Even though it's a gift from God, and as good as it is, it's going to take some energy on my part. Now, what's the problem? What's the problem? I'm tired. Can I get an amen? We are tapped and sapped of energy. Our culture has no margin. Do you know what margin is? Margin is that part of your life that has just a little extra left over in case something comes up that you're not ready for. We have no margin. We are marginless. Most in our culture are pushing so hard that we have nothing left to serve. There are currently over 100 types of energy drinks. Over 100 types. Here's just a few of the popular ones. 5-Hour Energy, Amp, Full Throttle, Hype Energy, Jolt, Mad Dog, Mountain Dew, Monster, NOS, Pepsi Max, Red Bull, Red Eye, Red Rooster. Apparently red is the color of energy. Okay? It's the most popular color. Red Bull, Red Eye, Red Rooster, Red Thunder, Red Line, Rockstar, Sobe Adrenaline Rush, and the world's most popular energy drink of all time. What is it? Coffee. Are energy drinks the solution? Are energy drinks the solution to our problem of lack of energy, of I'm tired? What's the solution? Slow down and trust God's promise of abundant energy. Slow down. Take a step back. Don't go full throttle. Turn down the amps. Sometimes we need to slow down. We need to remember we will always have enough energy for the things that God has for us to do. We will have the energy 100% of the time for what God has for us to do. But if we're doing too much outside of His work, we may not have the energy. Or if we're trying to do His work in our own strength, we may not have enough energy. Do you hear those two things? If we're doing too much outside of what God has for us to do, we may not have the energy to serve Him in the way He's called us to serve. If we are trying to do His work with our strength, and some of us think we have a lot of strength and energy, then we may get tired. If you're always tired, here's maybe one of your problems if you're always tired. Number one, my wife said you're a mom of young kids. But there may be a physical problem if you're always tired. Or you may not be sleeping enough. Do you know our culture gets about 2 less hours of sleep than they did 100 years ago? Do you think our bodies have changed to need less sleep, or do you think we're just getting less sleep? We may not be sleeping enough. We may be going to bed too late. Sorry. You may be maybe doing too much outside of what God has called you to do. There may be too much extra on your plate. Or, here's an interesting one, you may not be doing enough. Did you know that laziness makes you tired? You ever experienced that? You get lazy, you don't do anything for a while, and all of a sudden, oh man, I need a nap. Why, what you done? Nothing. Laziness will make you tired. I've experienced that. Thanks for the yawns. Or you may just be a teenager. Okay, God's work must always be fueled by God's abundant, never-ending energy. Amen? If we are going to serve God with our gift, it must always be fueled by His supply of never-ending, always abundant energy. But if we have too much peripheral action going on, we may be using the energy that God has given us for the gift that He's given us for the betterment of the body in a way that He never intended. The final characteristic of using our gifts, final characteristic this morning, our gift will benefit the body of Christ. Our gift will be a benefit to the full body. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Common good means corporate benefit. That means the good of the overall body. My gift has been given to me for your benefit. And your gift has been given to us for our benefit. That's why we've been given a gift. We haven't been given a gift for our own selfish use. Now, will it fulfill us? Yes, it will. That's the double blessing that God gives in this. Our gift, properly used, will be a benefit and a blessing to the body, and it will fulfill us as we're using that gift. But our gift is not given for us. Remember all the different things we can do with our gift? We can use it to the full. We can use it marginally. We can neglect it, or maybe we can even abuse it. We need to remember that our gifts were given for others, the common good. So, I know I appreciate many of the gifts that you have in this body. I appreciate them very, very much. And I see the gifts that you have, and I think, I could never do what you do. Ever. And I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that. And I know there are that you appreciate the gifts of others in this body. Amen? Do you appreciate the things that other people can do that benefit and build up this church? Yes, you do. So then the question that every single one of us in this room has to ask this morning is, am I playing my part? Am I using my gift for the building up and the betterment of the body? If I'm not, then I want to encourage you today, start using it. Because it will be a benefit to the body, and it will be a blessing and a fulfillment in you, a deep level blessing that this culture can't touch. That all the things that this culture wants to offer us, it can't touch. And you've been given a gift, every single person, and it's our job, it's our responsibility to use it to the max. So what do? I categorized this morning, this is what I'm going to close with, into three little categories. Three little simple categories that you may be, and I hate putting people into categories, but we're going to do the best we can. Where am I at this morning in using my gift? First place, serving and content. I am serving, and I'm content in my serving. I'm serving within my gifts. I'm feeling fulfilled. I have energy. I see the benefit to the body. Well, you know what? If that's you, keep going. Just keep going. Understand this. As you are serving, there are going to be seasons where you feel overwhelmed. That doesn't mean you should stop serving. That just means you need a little extra strength from God to get you through that season. You know what it feels like to be overwhelmed? Yes, we all do. And if it's a season, sometimes you're going to feel a season of overwhelmed. It doesn't mean you should stop. It doesn't mean you should 100% pull back. It just means you got to push through with a little extra God's energy for that season. But if you're serving in content, keep going. Second category. I don't mean this to sound offensive. No clue. I've never thought about this like this before. I never even realized I had a gift that was given to me that was just for me for the betterment of the body. Maybe I thought only the ones who had the gifts were the ones who talked. I never even have thought in this light. Or you know what? I don't have a clue what my gift is. I don't have a clue. Well, you know what? Next week we will talk about that. And next week should help you in that. Next week should give a little bit of clarity. But even if it doesn't, just start serving somewhere. Start serving somewhere. See if it's a good fit. If it's not a good fit, find somewhere else to start serving and see if that's a good fit. You learn to use your gifts to the full by practicing. The 2, 3, and 4-year-olds, I realized real quickly I wasn't meant to be in the nursery. And my wife certainly wasn't, even though she serves in the nursery from time to time. But the deal is, you'll figure out pretty quickly whether or not this is a good fit, whether or not this is something you have been equipped to do. You'll figure that out. It will come. But if you don't have a clue, you got to find somewhere. Third category, and I think this happens unfortunately far too much, serving in discontent. Serving in discontent. I'm serving, but I am not feeling fulfilled where I'm serving. It always feels like a burden. It feels like drudgery. People are annoying me. Nobody's helping me. Woe is me. Okay, so now I got to be honest. I've felt that way. I've felt like I'm serving, but I'm very discontent in that. Now what you have to do is you have to evaluate the problem, because there's two potentials, I think, in that. The problem might be me and my attitude. To be perfectly honest, sometimes I serve and I'm not feeling fulfilled because I just have a bad attitude. Or the problem might be it might be a bad fit. If it's a bad attitude, just go spend some time with Jesus. Okay, just go get alone with Christ, and I'm serious about that. Just go spend some time with Him, get into His Word, look at what He did, see the humility with which He served, spend a little time with Jesus, and He has a way of just changing our attitude a little bit. If it's a bad fit, I want to encourage you to stop serving, fulfill your responsibilities in that, but you can stop serving and quickly find somewhere else where you can serve. Every person who's trusted in Jesus has been given the gift of salvation. All of us. In addition, we've been given gifts. All of us. Every one of us has been given a gift that is meant to be a benefit to this body here. Our job is to use those gifts to be a blessing and a benefit to others. And next week, we'll talk about some of those unique gifts. I want to close this morning with Romans 12, verses 4 to 6. Just listen to this. And the last four words, I think, are very key. For as in one body, we have many members. That's true. And all the members do not all have the same function. And so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace, the gift that's given to us. Listen to these last four words. Let us use them. We all have gifts that differ. Let us use them. Let's pray. Father, when we think about the gift of salvation, it seems like there is no greater gift than that. And God, I think that that's true. And Father, we thank you. We praise you and we thank you and we worship you for the most incredible gift, the gift of our salvation that you gave to us, offered to us through the sending of your Son Jesus. And his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, God paid for, purchased our salvation and gave us life. And Lord, you tell us, just trust that. Turn from what we were following and trust in you and in that incredible gift. And God, when we've done that, our heart has been filled with joy. And yet, God, like the ultimate giver that you are, you've given us more. And God, you've given us these gifts, these things, these manifestations, expressions of your Spirit that we can have, that we can use for the betterment, for the build-up, for the encouragement of the body, of others. And we thank you for those gifts, God. Help us, Father, to realize where you have given us a gift and how we can best serve you through that gift. Father, we love you, we worship you, we adore you. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.